Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Kovacs here. Mishneh Yomi continues in chapter 4, Eduyot, the famous disputes where Beit Shammai is more lenient. And we are in Mishnayot 10 and 11 there today. Hamadir et ishto mitashmish mita, a husband who swears that his wife may not be intimate with him. And the Rav Bartner points out how it's even possible to make such an oath, since a husband is actually obligated on a biblical level to provide his wife such physical comfort and affection. So how long could such a situation last before the rabbis would intervene and either bring them to the table to figure out their problems and resolve them, or advise them to end the marriage? Beit Shammai omrim shtei shabbatot. Beit Shammai says a maximum of 2 weeks this situation could last. Beit Hillel omrim shabbat achad. Beit Hillel says only 1 week. And Beit Shammai is learning from the period of impurity after a mother gives birth to a daughter. There is a 2 week stretch where she cannot be with her husband and she is impure. Beit Hillel says that doesn't happen very often, but arguments between a husband and a wife are a quite common thing, lo aleinu, and therefore we should learn from a more common case of nida, which on a biblical level only lasts for 1 week. Of course, for modern practice, consult your local Orthodox rabbi. It actually comes out between a week and 2 weeks due to modern halachic reasons. But really, the mussar here is if there are fundamental problems in any relationship, don't let it go too long before seeking to resolve them or getting outside help to get everyone on the same page. The Mishnah goes on, I'm a pellet, l'or shmonim ve'echad. A woman had a daughter, and then she has a miscarriage on the night of day 81 after giving birth. Now, to explain, we just mentioned the first 2 weeks after giving birth, she has tum'ah, tumas leda, from childbirth, and then the next 66 days, she has dam tohar, where it's not technically a tumah, but she still cannot go to the temple until she brings an offering on day 81. But what if she became pregnant during that time of dam tohar? Again, not the modern practice. And then she had a miscarriage, lo aleinu, on the night of day 81. So Beit Shammai potrin min hakarban. Beit Shammai says she doesn't need to bring a second offering on day 81. The carbon yoledet, the offering she was going to bring anyway due to the birth of her daughter, mazel tov, that would also cover the miscarriage she had during that period. Beit Hillel mechayvin. Beit Hillel says she should bring a second set of offerings because lemaisa, the miscarriage took place after 80 days. And after 80 days, she was eligible to bring her carbon for Yoledet, for having the baby. So now she has to bring a second carbon also for the miscarriage, which will enable her to return to the temple and eat from sacrificial offerings. Now, the third disagreement is about tzitzit. Now, tzitzit are made of wool, and typically wool and linen we do not mix. But what about sodin? Sodin is a linen cloak, sodin betzitzit. Can we put wool tzitzit on a linen cloak? Beit Shammai potrin. Beit Shammai says the linen cloak, the sodin, is exempt from tzitzit. And his reasoning is that, yes, there's a mitzvat aseh, and the mitzvat aseh, the commandment to put tzitzit on your four-cornered garment, would override the lo taaseh of shatnez, of mixing wool and linen. However, that mitzvat aseh of putting tzitzit on only applies during the daytime. So during the daytime, it's fine. The positive command overrides the negative. But at nighttime, when the mitzvah does not apply of tzitzit, then someone would be doing an aveira of shatnez if they wear this cloak. So since we're worried someone might do that, Beit Shammai says don't bother putting tzitzit on a linen item. Beit Hillel mechayvin. Beit Hillel says no, you have to put your tzitzit, which are typically wool, onto this linen garment, and the rabbis are not concerned that you're going to wear it at nighttime when the mitzvah of tzitzit does not apply. Next, kol kolot ha-shabbat, the basket of the Sabbath. Someone is putting untithed fruit into a basket to save it for Shabbat. Now, when Shabbat arrives, they'll have to take the meiser. They'll have to take the meiser truma, the tithes, before Shkia, before Shabbat actually arrives, because eating anything on Shabbat is kavua, is important, is an important meal. So even though you could snack from certain kinds of produce without taking meiser, at least on Shabbat, you'd have to take the Maaser beforehand. So they're putting fruit away for Shabbat. Beit Shammai Potrin. Beit Shammai says if he wants to just have one of these apples or whatever for a snack, he does not have to separate Maaser first. It's still considered a snack. Beit Hillel Mechayvin. Beit Hillel says no, since it was set aside for Shabbat, and you're going to have to take the Maaser before Shabbat anyway, you're going to need to take the Maaser even if you're having one on Wednesday for a snack. The logic of Beit Hillel being when someone sets something aside for Shabbos, they usually don't change their mind. This is related to a Medrash, which is described in a Gemara, Beitza 16a. You might have heard this story that when Shammai would find something nice for Shabbos, he would buy it for Shabbos, even if it was Monday or Tuesday. Then when he found something nicer later in the week, he would buy that one for Shabbos and change his mind and eat the first one instead, eat that on Thursday. Whereas Beit Hillel just ate the best thing he found every day and trusted that Hashem would give him also something very nice for Oneg Shabbos. We see that Beit Shammai did hold people change their mind about what had been set aside for Shabbos, of course, if they find something better. On to Mishnah 11, to Nezirot, Misha Nadar, Nezirot Merubah, someone vowed a long-term Nezirot, longer than 30 days, Vehishlim Neziruto, he finished his term of Nezirot, Ve'achar Kach Bal Aretz, and then he got to Eretz Yisrael. He did his Nezirot outside of Eretz Yisrael. This is a problem because rabbinically, it's considered tumah, it's considered impurity all over the place outside of Eretz Yisrael because the non-Jews, the pagans, used to bury bodies literally all over the place haphazardly, and you'd be very impossible to avoid becoming tumamet, which a nazir may not do during his nazirut. It makes him start over. The Mishnayot and Gemara and Nazir actually bring a case of Queen Helene, who actually did this. She was Nazir Chutz La'aretz and then came to Eretz Yisrael and had to do something. As we'll see, Beit Shammai Omrim Nazir Shloshim Yom. Beit Shammai says when they arrive in Eretz Yisrael, this Nazir or Nazira has to observe 30 days of Nazirut in purity in Eretz Yisrael. That's the minimum term of Nazirut. Beit Hillel Omrim Nazir Batachila. Beit Hillel says this person has to start over from the beginning. It could have been a year, it could have been 7 years, something really big. So, of course, the right thing to do is to make sure you're in the right place with the right circumstances before you take on such a long-term project. The Mishnah adds a related halacha, Misha hayu shtei kitei edim idodoto. There's two sets of witnesses testifying about Reuven. Elum idim shenodar shtayim. One says, hey, Reuven, you vowed two terms of Nezirut. That would be 30 plus 30. Elum idim shenodar chamesh. The other group of witnesses, the other two guys, say, hey, Reuven, you donated five terms of Nezirut. That would be 150 days already. Beit Shammai orim Nechleku Eidut. Beit Shammai says these two groups are contradicting one another. Ein kon Nezirut. So there's no obligation for Reuven to be a Nazir at all unless he voluntarily agrees to it. Beit Hillel Omrim, but Beit Hillel disagree. They say Yesh Biklol Chamesh Shtayim. In the category of five, that includes two. You've got one group of witnesses saying two, and the other one says five. So we've established it's at least two, even though Lamaisa, the groups of witnesses, are arguing. Shei Nozer, Shtayim. So Reuven has to be a Nozer twice. Yashar Kochachem, Shabbat Shalom.